Man. Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, read one verse tonight. Lord, being my helper, I want to share a thought with you the Lord gave me this year. I spent the last day of last year, December 30th, went into the hospital with chest pains and had them for a long time and just finally got to the point where family kept on, went to do something about it, and they taught me into staying, didn't find anything, and charged me a whole bunch of money. Amen. So I told them I ain't going back. But while I was there, the Lord showed me some things. In verse number 10 of Ephesians 6, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Father, I love you today. Lord, we need you in this hour. Thank you for this church and how, Lord, much they've been a blessing to us over the years of our being able to know one another. And God, I pray you'd help us today. I pray you'd bless your people. Bless the reading of the Word of God and the preaching, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Paul is writing here in these first nine verses, and he's kind of dealing with the relative duties of children and of parents and of servants and of masters. And when he gets all of that out of the way in verse number 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I didn't know what we were going to hear 15 minutes before arriving here tonight, but God had already put in my heart what He wanted us to preach on tonight. And I want to preach with God's help on this phrase, "be strong." It's found three times in the New Testament, 38 times in our Bible, and all three times in the New Testament, he's talking to a believer or to a preacher in Timothy's case. And I look, Pastor Parrish, at that word "strong," and it means to make strong or to endue with strength or to strengthen. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Amen. And if there's ever a need in our churches today, if there's a need in this preacher's life today, it's to be strong in the power of the Lord. When we look at commercials today, and there are everywhere, boy, you can just, boy, if you'll take this pill, or if you'll do this 5 minutes, or boy, you can have this body, and you can have six-pack abs. I told them I still got the keg or the 12-pack, amen, but I'm working on something different. And I went into the hospital hurting, having been hurting for almost 2 years, just continually got worse, and didn't have a doctor, have not seen a doctor in 4 or 5 years, and so the hospital gave me one, and this guy was from Romania. He didn't have a lick of bedside manner, amen. And he walked in the first time I met him, and they've got me all wired up, and y'all know how they do. I hope I never have to go back, amen. And he walked in and he said, "Mr. Hendricks," first conversation, first words out of his mouth, never met him before in my life. He said, "You got two strikes against you." He said, You're 48 and obese. I said, "Doc, now I'm depressed." Amen. I said, "Add that to the list." And he said, "Well, at least you haven't lost your sense of humor." I said, "I pray that's the last thing to go." Amen. I said, "You done told me I'm old and fat. What else is there?" Amen. And I said, "Doc, I looked in the mirror before I left, and I stepped on the scales. I know who my birthday is." And I said, "You done charged me $6,000 to tell me something I already knew." He said, "Well, Doc, let us run some tests. Mr. Hendricks, we need to run some tests, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that." And he began to check me out, and they told me I hadn't had a heart attack, and they diagnosed me with several different things. And he sent me home with a regimen to work with. And as I began to think about that, we look at all these guys, you know, that, boy, they're so big and strong, and, boy, if you'll just do this 10 minutes a day, and you do it an hour a day, and nothing changes. Amen. They've got this thing that went that thing for a while. You strapped on and turned electricity on. I don't like electricity, so I wasn't interested in that one. But they said, it'll do all the work for you. And sad to say, church, we're letting that spill over into our Christianity. Boy, we got a little peel. I tell guys all the time, I had a young man several weeks ago at the Harvin Krauss Detention Center jail in Lincolnton, North Carolina, at 20 years old, a member of our church. Met him there. He's on drugs. Matter of fact, I think he's already back there again. And he said, "Joe, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved." He was confident of that. And I said, "David, I don't have a magic pill that will make you quit doing drugs. I don't have a magic pill or a little verse you can stick in your purse, ladies, that will fix everything. We've got to do some things for ourselves." I read an illustration. I was looking at this message, and a man by the name of Josiah Perkins was celebrating his 100th birthday when a reporter called and interviewed him and said, "Do you think you'll live another 100 years?" The reporter asked, and Josiah said, "Well, I don't see why I shouldn't." He said, "I'm a heap stronger than I was 100 years ago today." But my thought tonight, God helping us, is be strong. When they finally dismissed me that next day, the doctor gave me a whole folder full of stuff, and he said, "Mr. Hendricks, we want you to walk and to exercise," and he began all of this stuff. He gave me, as it were, a regimen to get healthy, a regimen to get where I needed to be. And I looked up that word, okay? Now, I'm just a hillbilly, so a country redneck, so I had to find out what a regimen was, amen? And they tell me that a regimen is a prescribed course of medical treatment, way of life, or diet for the promotion or restoration of health. And I began to realize in my spiritual life that I had to have a regimen if I was going to get strong, if I was going to get healthy. Matter of fact, I think I've hurt the first time in my chest the day that I have in a week or two. Amen. I told her, you know, so why? That's not good. When you hurt every day for 2 years, that's a good thing. Amen. Ain't been but a couple times this month, praise God. So we're headed in the right direction because I've tried to follow the regimen that the doctor put me on. Now, I make fun of him, and I joke about this and that, and, you know, he told me, he said, "Now, Mr. Hendricks," he told me what I weighed in. He said, "Is that right?" I said, "If you say so." Amen. I didn't argue with him. He said, "You need to weigh 170 pounds. I said, "Doc, I did when I was 13. He said, "Well, 180 pounds. I said, "I was 14. He wouldn't go no higher. That's where he stopped. And he wasn't real laughing. He didn't have a bedside manner. This guy never cracked a smile. I figured I may as well laugh. He wasn't going to, amen. Except he laughed last when he sent me the bill. But he gave me this regimen, and I want to try with God's help tonight to... He encouraged me to join a gym. I hadn't been in a gym since I was 18 years old. I was in powerlifting in high school, and the gym we had at high school ain't nothing like the gym I joined the middle of January. If you wanted to max out at Bandage High School, where I went to the gym when I was in school, everybody else had to quit. We didn't have it 355 pounds. That was all the weights in the room. Amen. And if he was going to, I was squatting 410, so we had to kind of cheat some stuff then just to get the weights we needed. And I go in this gym, and man, there's stuff everywhere. These machines I ain't seen. These things I'm still afraid to get on, amen. I'm afraid they might eat me up, throw me out or something. I don't know what they do. But I began to learn some things about being strong, and the Lord began to show me some things that just maybe we could apply to our spiritual life to become strong. I had a choice when I left the hospital with that stack of papers. I could throw them in the trash, or I could file them in file 13, or drop them in the back of a file cabinet, or I could look at them and say, "Well, this is what he wants me to do." And that's kind of what I'm going to share with you tonight. You can take it home, file it away, and say, "Man, that preacher just wasted our time." You can, say, "Well, man, I don't want to do none of that stuff, and I'm not interested in that stuff." Or maybe you can take heed to it, and maybe, just maybe, we could gain a little strength spiritually by applying some of these principles that I've learned the last 3 or 4 months or last 3 months in what God's been showing me. The first thing the doc told me that I was going to have in this regimen is I was going to have the right diet. And I knew he was going to say that. Preacher, I didn't want to hear that. He said, "You got to quit all these sweet drinks and all these cakes." I said, "Doc, my wife's a country cook, amen. She don't buy nothing at the store. Everything about's made from scratch, and I got to sample it to make sure it's all right, before we send it out." But he told me, began to tell me, and you understand that, if we're going to lose weight and we're going to get in shape, then we're going to have a regular diet. There's going to be some regulations. Well, do you understand, church, the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 8, "But now ye also put off these, all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Verse 9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And I begin to realize that God also asked me, I need a regular diet. There's some things he's asked me to put off. And then over in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and you know these things, he's asked us to put on some things. And there's the fruit of the Spirit that'll be there. And I begin to think about that as I begin to grow and I want to be strong in the Lord. I need a regular diet of the things of God. There's some things I need to put off. There's some things I need to put away. There's some things I need to cast aside. And if I desire to be strong in the Lord, as we're challenged to be in the Word of God, then we need to put off some things. I'll be honest, church, I deal with fellas a lot of time, and a lot of their problem comes from this very fact. They won't put off what the Bible tells us there in Colossians. And they find it tripping them back up again and ensnaring them again. And if they want to be strong, and almost every week somewhere we're in prison, we're taking prayer requests, preacher, and there'll be at least one, if not three or four, say, preacher, pray I'll be strong. And that began to lead me down this path that we're headed down tonight. If we're going to be strong, we're going to have a regular diet. But not only that, when I went into the gym, I realized that also as a bodybuilder, and I was for 3 years, that there's going to have to be some resistance. We as Americans don't like resistance. We want everything just to flow along. We don't want anything to block our path. We don't want to have to wait in the line at the drive-thru. Amen. If the light turns green and somebody's in front of you, don't go, or you're sitting there not going, oftentimes they'll be laying down on the horn and shaking their fists, and boy, we're in a hurry. We don't like resistance. But if we're going to have a regular diet and we're going to have resistance, if we're going to get strong in the Lord, it's going to take some things. 1 Peter 4 verse 12 said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. We don't like trials. We don't like what we're going through right now in this last hour and a half in our family. But I promise you, if we'll give God the glory, if we'll honor God in our life, we'll be stronger when we come through that resistance. When I went into the gym, fellas, they've got free weights in the back, and he said, oh, that's where you want to be. I said, no, Doc told me to stay away from them because once you've been a power lifter, it's hard not to go back there. And I watched that squat rack, brother, and I looked, and I got on the treadmill and I tried to walk for a little bit and I said, well, I'm done with that. And I got off my legs are wobbly, you know, because I wasn't accustomed to it. And then I watched that power rack, that squat rack, and I thought, well, ain't nobody in here. We go early, about 5 o'clock in the morning, try to beat all the smart folks, you know, and us old rednecks and get ours out the way and go. And I thought, I'm going to go back there and try this thing, man. I used to squat 410 pounds. Now I just pick up about half, three-fourths of that when I get up off the bed, amen. And I went back there, and boy, I got in that power rack, and man, I got me some squats going on, and I got me 3 sets out, and I texted a buddy of mine when we left the gym about an hour and a half later. I said, are they supposed to help you to the car when you leave the gym? You see, there was some resistance, church, that I hadn't been accustomed to. On Friday, I went to a meeting with another preacher, and they got out. Another preacher called me. We were talking, and I'm coming out across the parking lot, and my wife was already in the van, and the pastor said, is Brother Joe all right? That he's walking funny. Is he hurting? She said, well, is it his legs or his back? He said, yeah. I'm talking about resistance. We don't like that. We don't want that. And I got in, this new brother, good friend of mine, preaching jail with us, prison with us, and he said, well, Brother Joe, what happened? I said, well, I've been trying to get used to this squat rack again. He said, well, how much did you lift? I said, what's a bar weigh? Now, I already knew it's 45 pounds. Okay, I've been there before. He started laughing. I said, man, I ain't done this in 30 years. Listen, some of you maybe just gotten saved. Maybe you've not been in church long. And you see somebody, boy, they're out there and they're bulked up spiritually speaking. And they're doing all this. And boy, you jump in there and it hurts. It's not easy to do that. By the way, I squatted 200 Friday. Hallelujah. And I'm like, that's enough. But you know, that would have never happened if I would have given up the first time. The resistance was hard and the legs hurt and those calf muscles had said, what are you doing to us? We've not ever done this in a long time. And sad to say, sometimes spiritually, that's exactly what happens. Boy, we face those trials, those tribulations, those problems come and things give us trouble. And we're like, boy, I just don't know if I can handle it. It's good, by the way, in those times to have a good spotter. Hey, man. I remember when I was in powerlifting there in high school, I'd start my workout about 2:05, and my coach was my spotter. And we were out there one day, it was sunny, and boy, everybody put lotion on and all that for your arms not to burn and all those type of things. And as I started my workout at 2:05, it slipped. And I dropped 205 pounds across my collarbone. And my spotter didn't catch it until it bounced. He's not supposed to do that, amen. Thank the Lord I had been lifting a long time and it bounced instead of just went on through. I rolled out on the bench and I'm like, man, I'm glad you was here, but I wish you'd have been watching a little closer. Do you understand? We've got a spotter in the Spirit of God that's always watching. He knows exactly how much we can handle. He knows when we're struggling. He knows our family needs something now. And I've done felt somebody done eased up there beside me. He's done made everything all right for the task at hand. Friend, let me say to you, resistance is what we're going to need. We don't like it, but we need it in this regimen. Not only that, but then after we get the right diet and after we get the right resistance, do you realize we need to rest? Amen. We need to rest. I'm still struggling with it. My body's older than it was when I was doing this before. And well, I train 6 days a week and I'm like, boy, I'm good to go. Sunday's the only day I took off. And they said, Joe, you can't do that no more. Your body can't take it. And after about 3 weeks, I said, you're right. I can't do that no more. My body can't take it. You know, the children of Israel came out of the wilderness or came across the Red Sea and never went and stayed 40 years in the wilderness because they were never willing to trust in the Lord and to rest in Him. He had said, I'll take care of you. I've got a plan. Here's what I want you to do. And 10 of the 12 said, no, we can't do that. And because of their willing to rest in God, they died in a wilderness, saved. God cared for them. God took care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Wouldn't that be a blessing to have shoes that last 40 years a day? I got a pair of boots that's 12 years old, but they ain't nowhere close to 40 yet. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. And I'll be honest, as a young man, boy, when I was first saved, man, I wanted to do everything coming and going. I wanted to be involved in everything coming and going. And boy, I didn't want no rest, and I'm still that way to a good degree. But I'm realizing, preacher, sometimes I've just got to rest and say, Lord, it's in your hands. I can't do anything about the situation that was contacted. We were contacted about an hour and 15, 20 minutes ago. We'll do what we can after service. We'll try to be with the family. But I've got to just put it in God's hands. And rest. I'm talking about to be strong. How are we going to be strong? I've got guys say, boy, Brother Joe, I wish I could be like you. You might not want to be like Joe. We don't like to go through that resistance, but we've got to learn to rest. And so we go 3 days a week, and then I rest. The Bible said, Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we're going to be strong, church, we're going to have the right diet. We've got to feed on the right things. That may mean turning off some of the other things. And I'm not going to list any. I'm going to let God list them for you, whatever it may be, because it's different for all of us. There's some things that maybe I've got to turn off that maybe you don't have. It doesn't bother you. You've got it all lined up. Some things you might need to step away from. Some things you might need to step up to. Amen. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, then I'm going to have to put off some things, and I'm going to have to put on some things. And it's a struggle sometimes. When we were babysitting the kids, we had to be back to the house at 7, so we had to get up at 4. And I'm like, man, I had forgot that came twice in one day. Amen. And I'm like, boy, at 4 o'clock, I'm trying to walk around, and I've got my glasses on, but it's almost like I don't have. You know what I'm saying? But once we got in there and got started, I got on that elliptical machine that first week, and I'm like, honey, we ain't walking on this thing. That'll break your neck. It about throwed me off. I'm like, it's embarrassing enough as it is. But we walked 2.5 miles on it Friday. But it's because we kept going back. You see, sometimes we get discouraged and say, I think I'll just quit. Sometimes, guys, another thing I'll give you, we've got to have regular exercise. It's got to be a regular thing, a routine with force. That regimen is going to require rest. It's going to require a right diet. It's going to require that you and I go and do those things. And we have that resistance, and that resistance makes us stronger. But then we're going to have to be regular in it. Preacher was talking, and we all know this. Same thing at our church last Sunday, Christmas Sunday. Boy, there'll be some of them that make their pilgrimage, and they want to be strong. Preacher, pray for me. I'll be strong in the Lord this year. Usually at New Year's, we have that. We'll have those that'll come the first Sunday of the year. Boy, Brother Joe, pray. I'm going to change my life this year. And we don't see them. There's no regularity. and you can't grow. I mean, it's a blessing to see this many people in the house, especially if y'all knew I was coming. Especially if you knew I was coming, and y'all still here. Amen. That's a blessing. That's exciting to me as a preacher that you would come. But I believe some of you will be here regardless because you're regular, because you know that that's what it takes. You want to be strong, and you are. Man, you got no doubt these preachers here that know so much more than I. I'm just no country preacher. I don't know a whole lot, but I try to put to practice what I do know. Amen. These guys in that gym no doubt know a whole heap more than me, and they know how to work all these muscles I can't even pronounce. And I know you got to do squats to work your legs and back, and bench presses to work your chest, and I know a few little things, but I'm just saying, if you're not regular with it, doesn't make any difference. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And he goes on to say that you should walk in them. Do you understand? If we're going to be strong as a church, if we're going to be strong as a child of God, if we're going to be strong as a community, we've got to have this regimen in our life. We've got to have regularity. We've got to have a set time. I get tickled at my grandbabies, and they're all back in North Carolina now. My daughter moved back several months ago, and we see them at least every couple of weeks now, instead of every 2 or 3 months. And my oldest, he'll come in, he'll say, "Papa Joe," said, "where are you going?" "Well, I'm going to prison." "Well, why are you going to prison?" He'll ask me this every time we go through this little spiel. And I said, "Buddy, Papa's going to preach." He said, "Okay." He come down the other day, we're about out of gas. And I said, "Buddy, we can't ride the four-wheeler anymore. We're out of gas." He said, "Now, Papa Joe, before I come back, you need to get some gas." I said, "Buddy, Papa ain't got no money." He said, "It don't matter. We just got to have some gas so we can ride the four-wheeler when we come to Papa's house." Amen. And we went and got some gas. Amen. But those, I want those kids to know, folks, that there's regularity in Papa's life. That serving God means something to me. Serving God, church, means sometimes you come and do what's right when it feels inside like you're coming apart. That sometimes you come and do what's right. We go to the gym, try to go 3 days a week regular. Even some mornings, my wife woke up here one morning last week. She said, "I feel like somebody rolled me with a truck." I said, "I'll get the wheelbarrow. Let's go, amen." And we got down there and got our couple of miles in and got on this and that and done our thing for about 2 hours. And then the next morning, I felt that. The next time I went, I felt that way. She's like, "Come on, honey, let's go." You see, that's why we need church. We need each other. And when one's down, thank God most of the time it's just one of the two that's down. Everybody got down at the same time, it'd be awesome. It'd be awful. But it seems like in the churches that I'm a part of and those that I preach to, that there'll be somebody down and somebody up, and that's kind of the way God set it up. But listen, we've got to help one another. We need to be regular. Psalms 119 verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Who walk in the law. Hey, listen, there was a young man when I played football. He didn't care about being on the team. He didn't care about being on the field. All he wanted was to wear the jersey on pep rally day. Amen. I mean, it'd be raining. I mean, cats and dogs. There's blood and mud on about 45 of us. And his jersey's just as white as can be. He's like, "Boy, it's a good game we had tonight." Well, he ain't on the team. He ain't involved. And he come to the gym one day. Red-headed, bow-legged fella, and I'm not making fun of him, but I see that in churches a lot of times. He come in one day, there's 4,000 there, boy, we had sweating and we was working out, and he come in and said, "I'm going to get strong today, coach." And he come in, and he got here, and he got there, and, you know, he done some workouts with some weight and stuff, and he never came back. About 2 weeks went by, and coach said, "I guess he got all he needed the first time he came. But you talk to him, boy, I want to be strong, coach. I want to get out there and play." Listen, sometimes we want to serve God, but we're not willing to put in the regular service. We're not willing to put in the time to get strong. That's all I'm saying. We've got to be strong. It's not easy to be strong. Sometimes as a preacher, you've got to be strong because that's what's required. As Pastor already said, boy, you can be broken inside. When I was in Grenada, I'd go preach, go home, go back to bed till I went to preach the next time for almost a year. We did that. Our church folk didn't know that because they was looking to me as their leader. And I tried my best, God helping me to lead them. And when I come home with problems and wound up having the surgeries, very few of our church even knew what all was going on because that's the way I wanted it. Since 1998, Brother David Edwards, a national pastor, has done a great work, and that work is still going on today. Amen. But Pastor David, no, and I'd bring him in. Sometimes he'd have to come into the bedroom. I wasn't able to get up, and he'd sit there and we'd talk. And I'd say, "Brother David, listen, when you lead these people," and we were preparing him, trying to groom him and take over that church, I said, "You can't let all your feelings out there in the pulpit in the church. You've got to be strong." Sunday school teachers and bus workers and whatever it is, you know that fact. We've got to be strong. How are we going to do that? We've got to be regular. There's got to be a regular time. a regular routine. Sometimes I've got to get my date book and see where we go next, but we know we're going because that's what's required. The Bible says it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. I'm talking about being strong tonight. Some things I learned or I'm learning this year. Not only that some regularity, there's got to be some repetition. Amen. Got to be some repetition. I hate that. Some of those I think are teachers in here, and I learned in school repetition's the best teacher. Repetition's the best teacher. Hey, it don't bother me to get on that bar now and know, boy, 45 pound ain't nothing. We got to add something else because I've had that resistance before. I don't like problems no more than anybody else. I don't like struggles no more than anybody else, but I've learned to struggle through with the help of God, realizing that resistance will give me strength when I come out the other end. You see, when I was in high school, when a man in our church that had been powerlifting saw that I was serious, he said, Joe, if you'll come to my house, I got something I want to show you. I'm trying to hurry and finish. He said, son, you look like you're serious about this thing. And he said, if you'll do what I tell you, you can build a half inch on your arms every 3 months. But it's going to take work. It's going to take three days a week. You're going to have to do what I tell you. And I said, man, I said, I'll do it. Boy, I was excited. I was wanting to be there. My arms were 14 inches. When I graduated high school, they were 18 and a half. But it come for 3 days a week, 12 months a year, being faithful to do what he told me. Some of you want to be strong, but you don't want to do what the Word of God tells us. And we wonder why we can't bulk up spiritually speaking. Boy, we want to be big. And I told them one good thing about going to gyms, I have lost about 30 pounds. And I'm like, man, my clothes fit. I didn't have to buy Easter clothes. I just got out some I hadn't worn in 2 or 3 years. Amen. Because they fit again. Now, I praise God. I'm always for saving money. Amen. But I've learned regular exercise. Walking with the Lord. That's how we're going to get strong. That's how we're going to buff up, so to speak, spiritually speaking. We're going to have to walk with the Lord. We're going to have repetition. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Well, we want to be prosperous, amen. We'll be successful, but do we want to do the walk? Do we want to do the regularity? Do we want to be there? Do we want to have the repetition? Boy, we don't like this. I'll never forget, I met a man named Danny, I believe it was, in Richmond Hill Prison in Grenada last December. About 30-something years old. We preached down there. Praise the Lord. Was able to get in. Had 11 men trust the Lord that day as their Savior. I dealt with a young man named Danny and two other men. And I'll never forget, brother, what he told me. He said, preacher, he said, I'm 30, a couple years old, whatever it was. And he said, I've done everything you can imagine. He said, but I'm not happy and I'm so sick of my life. Can you help me change? I said, I can't, but I can tell you somebody who can. And I took him to Jesus, and I said, he can make the difference. But I said, Danny, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some resistance. The devil's not going to like you wanting to serve God. Church, can I say to you tonight, the devil don't like you being here. He don't like you wanting to do something for the Lord. He don't like us wanting to go into the prisons. He don't like us, and you dear folk, wanting to go out, wherever it is. Brother Jerry with the youth group and the young folk, and all that takes regularity and repetition. And like, man, I just told them this last week. I wonder how tired God must get at talking to Joe. And said, I done told him this 100 times in the last 28 years. But we're going to also have to have a routine. We're going to have a routine. My wife and I have tried to get in a routine and stay in it because I know that if you don't stay in that routine and you get off, it's sometimes hard to get back. We go knocking on doors. We go on visitation. You've been there. Well, preacher, boy, I was in church so well, but I've been out so long. It's just hard to go back. They broke the routine. And you've got to encourage them. We've got to challenge them to get into that routine. That's why it's good to have a partner, amen? And I'm glad God's given me a help me to completer that can complete and help and walk with me and walk alongside me. And we get us a treadmill side by side, amen? We walk together. That way we can talk. And she said, you're going to do ellipticals? I said, I guess. I'm kind of getting used to them now, but boy, it ain't as bad when Sister Mama's walking in the next one. You know why it's a blessing when you've got a Christian brother or sister to walk alongside you? When you're down. Amen. Some of these guys get out and some that I meet in churches and they'll say, preacher, would you pray for this? Preacher, would you do this? Listen, there's a 17-year-old girl. She's still at Gaston Juvenile. And I'm going to be careful. I can't give any names or any details. But I met her last month and I talked to her again Friday. Just passing. We dealt with the boys. And Again, to talk to these girls, we don't go in to find out why they're there. Had a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old there that day. Both of them were there for attempted murder. One said, "Preacher," 14-year-old girl, she said, "Preacher," she said, "you pray for me." She said, I'm here." And again, we didn't ask them. We didn't talk about why I followed Jesus, John 18. And they began to tell me what was going on in their life. And I've learned just to let them talk. Open up and try to help them. She said, "Preacher, I took a pair of scissors and tried to kill a boy." She said, "I'm glad it missed his heart, but that's what I was trying for." Showed some remorse. The other girl said, "Preacher, she's 17 years old. Pray for her right now." Again, I started to call her name, and I can't do that. I get in trouble. But I spoke to this young girl. She says she's saved. I don't know. God knows. But she said, "Preacher," she said, "I've done drugs all my life." I said, "Honey, when did you start?" She said, "I started at 9 years old. I'd buy them, and me and mama would do them together." 9 years old. She said, "My mama's boyfriend hurt me and my mama, and I told him if he hurt me and mama again, I'd try to kill him." And she said, "Preacher, I took a pipe and did the best I can." So he's alive. He's in CMC now on life support, but I tried to kill him. And she said, "Preacher, if I'm tried as an adult, I could face a death penalty depending on what happens to the young man." 17-year-old, little blonde-haired girl, I'll be worried about pimples. I'll be worried about passing high school, worried about the death penalty. And I begin to talk to this girl and try to tell her, "Look, you need a regimen, you need a routine." But when she goes back, her routine's doing drugs with her mother. Her regular she said, "Preacher, I'd go buy the drugs and me and mom would do them." And if we do those things, church, we're never going to get strong. We can't go in and out. I tell them all the time, God's not going to bless our mess. A young man came into the gym just the other week while we were there. He's probably 15, 18 years old. I don't know him. And he walked around, brother. He looked at every machine in there. He pulled on a couple of them a time or two. He got up on the elliptical and took about 3 steps and got off. And he made the whole round. But he never done anything. How many people we see come in our churches like that sometime? They'll try out Brother Jerry's class. They'll say, "Boy, let's see what it's like." They'll come to some group or activity, some function. They'll come to preacher's class. They may come to church service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. May come to revival. And they'll kind of sit around, but they never try out anything. And they wonder why they can't get strong. There's no routine. One other thing, now I'll close. Something else I've noticed, preacher, in these gyms, at least the one I'm in, Joshua 1:7 said, "Obey thou, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." There's our problem, we fail. But I noticed something, and I don't know if they're all this way. I hadn't been in one in 30 years, but this gym where I go has got big old 8-foot mirrors on every wall. And them things scare me. Boy, you can think you're doing pretty good. And you look over in that mirror and you get a reality check. I ain't as good as I thought I was. I ain't doing as great. Do you realize it'd be good to get in the mirror of the Word of God sometimes and get a reality check? And see just what we need. Oh, I tell you what, I'm doing pretty good. I ain't doing like this guy. I ain't doing like that guy. There's a guy hanging on the wall there, the owner of the place, bench press 605 in 07, state champ, North Carolina, so he says. And I watch that and I'm like, whoa. Man, I'm too old. He said, "Well, I'm 42. But he's been at it a long time, what I'm telling you. He works out religiously. He works out in a routine. He's got a regimen. We want to be strong. And I believe we can take those same things that God's showing me here that I've been applying to my life spiritually for almost 30 years now. Been preaching 28 years and started. I'd never read the Bible completely. I'm going to be honest. When God called me to preach, I was like a lot of people. I'd never read the Bible through. But I did that next year. And I've tried to every year since. Because I know there's got to be a routine. And I know when I think, boy, I'm doing pretty good. Man, I saw 9 people saved last week. Why, praise God. Now to get in the Word of God, I realize I'm not doing all that I could do. I realize I've got a reality check. I've looked in the mirror of God's Word. James talks about that. I'll give you this and I'll close. James chapter 1, verse 23 said, "For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." That's what happens to us so many times. We get to looking at each other. And I can always find somebody worse shape than me. And you. But when I look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when they reviled him, he reviled not again. When they hung him on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When he was there, he looked at his mother and he had compassion. He looked at the thief on the cross and he had compassion. And I look in the mirror of God's Word and I get a reality check. I want to be strong. What about you? I'm on the right track with my health. At least I hope I am. But I want to stay on the right track with my spirituality. I want to be strong. Because I'm afraid. You see, I've done preach twice this year on what the Bible says about same-sex union inside the prison. It's a shame we've got to vote on it. But we vote May 8th in North Carolina. And I preach in both states. And I said, well, if I wind up getting locked up for it, I want to at least know what the Bible says about it. Amen. Amen. Pray God will give me boldness, but also sympathy and the right heart to preach it in the right way. And that takes wisdom sometimes that, I'll be honest with you, I don't have. I've got to fall on my face and say, God, I need your help. You know, I'm just no redneck, and I get right down there with them sometimes and where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and we need to do that, but I know I want to do it in the right attitude. I want to do it in the right heart. I want to be strong in the right way, amen? Are you strong today? If not, I've tried to share with you what God's putting in my heart this year to do. Do you have a regular Bible time? Do you have a prayer time? Do you have a regular walk with God? Do you have some regularity in the service? And I mean, thank God, what a blessing to see all of you here tonight. There's about 25 where I was at in church this morning. So I mean, it's a blessing to see you here. I'm not fussing, but I'm saying, are you strong? Do you want to be strong? Are you looking to the Word of God? Have you got a right diet? Have you put off some of those things that are harming your spiritual walk with God and put on some things that will help you walk with God in the right way? That's what we need. That's what Joe needs. Y'all may not need this, but God knew I was going to need this tonight, that we could be strong in the Lord. Father, I love you. Lord, I love these people. They've been such a blessing to this preacher. And Lord, we're grateful for that. And God, I pray as a preacher comes, you'd have you with them away in the invitations. We commit it to your hands. In Christ's name we pray.